What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 28 of Smoking Weed and Talking MMA. My name is Jared. I'm here with my good friend Paul.
What's up?
We are coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, fight capital of the world and land of legal cannabis.
Hell yeah.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking all about everything UFC 235, which was this weekend right here in our hometown. We're going to be talking about the Conor McGregor Cowboy Cerrone fight possibly being off. We're going to take a look at Lewis versus Dos Santos next week. We're going to have our Fighter Who Smokes segment, who is this week. We'll tell you John Jones
the coming off
a big win, the GOAT. But before we get to all of that, we are going to start off with our Weed of the Week.
Smoke weed every day.
Now, Paul just fired up this joint here of some super glue. What do you think of that, man? Is it tasty? I haven't hit this yet.
I fuck with it.
Super glue is Afghani crossed with Northern Lights, and this is some aptly named bud because it's sticky as fuck,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, it's sticky as fuck. It's dense as fuck.
Yeah, you know what?
It's tasty as fuck, too, man. That's
something
nice.
A little bit different today.
Oh, yeah. If you're watching on YouTube. Ooh, man, that's nice and smooth, man. That's nice and smooth.
I haven't
smoked
any
super glue in a long time. And get right on camera there for the YouTube viewers. Yeah, you should rotate that a little bit. That's nice, dude. Look at that big fat bud. That's some nice sticky icky right here. It's really good for joints,
fuck
man.
Yeah.
It burns nice and
gets
slow.
Gets a nice cherry going.
Nice cherry going.
It's dense
really
as
tasty,
fuck, too.
Man.
It's hard to grind. Shit. I was like, it's one of those ones that takes like four or five like fucking twists just to get
yeah,
it going.
Yeah, if you have a grinder with a little handle on it,
you're
that's
fucked.
The kind that's going to break
you're
it.
You're fucked. You're going to break that shit.
Yep.
Well, and that should remind you why you're an idiot and you shouldn't have that.
Good point.
But then again, who gave it to you?
Yeah, I got it from you, man. But hey, on top of that, bud that we're smoking here, our Weed of the Week is also sponsored by Sin City Sweets, which is part of the OMG THC line. We had some edibles here before the show. A couple different candy bars. These are white chocolate, 1-to-1 ratio. So there's a 100 milligrams of CBD and 100 milligrams of THC, which is the legal limit on the THC for edibles out here. But we had those a little while ago. What did you think of that, man?
I like it. They're doing, like we've talked about in the past, they do it the right way there. When we went to do our little tour there, they told us that their chocolatiers were brought in from we're working for Disney before, so you know
yeah,
they've got to. You know they're doing it right, you know, and it, I mean you don't taste anything.
No,
and
they,
it gets you. It gets you for sure.
They make all their edibles with distillate, mm-hmm. So there's no flavor in there, which not everybody does. You would think maybe if you're not used to the scene that might be pretty common. You get a lot of shitty taste in edibles.
Oh, dude, I've had some edibles that just taste like fucking shit.
Yeah, me too. Like. Things that if it wasn't weed, you would just be like, I'm never eating that again.
Yeah,
like,
fuck that.
But you don't get that with the OMG THC Sin City Sweets line. The shit tastes just like fucking candy. If you had that right beside a fucking regular white chocolate candy bar, I wouldn't know the difference. And one thing that I guess is kind of cool is the bottom of the candy bar is labeled and each little serving is labeled with THC in red, which is kind of cool. I guess for people who worry about that getting mixed up with kids. But who the hell is letting their
whose fucking kid is going with them because like fucking near that kind of
exactly.
Shit.
So I
that's
hate
their
those
own
arguments.
Stupidity.
Absolutely, it's like
it's like when they legalized cannabis in the first place, it kind of fucked the edibles market up because they said that they could not do like gummy bears, they couldn't do any children's candy that is like. Has any kind of notoriety they couldn't use because they thought it would target kids.
Yeah, such a bullshit argument.
It's a weird one.
So, hard root beer, hard cider, which is hard apple juice.
Yeah, I feel
does that target some kids too?
Yeah,
does Mike's hard lemonade target kids too?
Just targets bitches.
You know. No, I know. That's just the whole problem with cannabis prohibition. But, dude, that's why I live in states where cannabis is legal anyways. That's a purposeful decision on my part. I knew what was going to happen here when I first moved here to Las Vegas. I mean, I had just left Colorado, where we'd had medical for a long time. But we had just voted in legal cannabis, and then I moved here. But I knew it was coming here. It had already been talk about it being on the ballot, and I knew it's fucking Vegas. There's no way that's getting voted down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this chocolate, if you're out here, you're looking for good edibles, not only do you need to check out the OMG THC line, but the other thing that makes it different is the one-to-one CBD to THC really kicks in the fucking power. Like, I kind of bitch a little bit out here because I'm used to more powerful edibles, so 100 milligrams doesn't really do much for me. But when you have it a one-to-one with that 100 milligrams of CBD in there, too, really amplifies the fucking power on that.
Yeah.
Like, I can get nice and fucking high. Absolutely.
It's a good mix.
So you can find out more about OMG THC. Their website's being built, so depending on when you're listening to this, it might not be up, but it's omgthc.vegas. Or you can just search OMG underscore THC on Instagram, too. But good shit. Something to check out here if you're out and about on the Las Vegas scene. But back to the super glue, man.
It's fucking burning so nice, dude. It's just burning so even.
And it's so smooth.
I'll fuck with it.
Which is important to me, man, because I have a hernia right now. I'm going in for surgery in a couple of days, so I don't really want to be coughing on some shitty-ass weed.
Yeah, for
you know what I'm saying? And so it's nice. This is super smooth, legit fucking tasty. So,
plus, who doesn't like Northern Lights? And then you make a fucking...
I know, that's some high-level genetics right there.
Afghani, you know what I'm saying? Afghani and Northern Lights are like two like very, very popular strains.
Very
so it's like, you know.
Very popular, like the backbone of so many other different well-known
like
strains.
Super, yeah.
So it's fucking good shit.
I fuck with it.
Something definitely to check out. The good old super glue. That all probably wraps up the weed of the week. While we're still hitting this joint, though, dude. We got to start off with UFC 235, but more than just the event itself.
Let's take a step back. Yeah, let's dive into the week before.
Because being the Las Vegas locals that we are, we get to experience a lot of the fight scene out here, right?
Yeah.
So what do? We went to press conferences,
open workout, and the weigh-in.
Yeah, all kinds of cool shit,
met some cool fucking fighters and shit. Got a picture with my fucking favorite fighter. Got a fucking picture with Henry Cejudo.
Henry Cejudo, the flyweight champ,
felt bad though. He was sick, man. And I kind of was like, "Hey, man, I know you're sick, but like," and he was hella cool about it.
Yeah, he's very cool. We were going through New York, New York. It wasn't like
what was
at the
intense
event.
About it though. Is as I was taking the picture with him, this fool was FaceTiming Kamaru Usman at the same time, talking to him, and like he wasn't talking to him before I asked for the picture. Like he was just like he was calling him. He's like, "Yeah, hold on one second. Let me answer this." And then as soon as he answered it, he was like, "Oh, just let's take the picture real quick." And then he's like fucking talking to Kamaru Usman and taking a picture of me at the same time.
Yeah, that was a trip, man. It was so weird because you were standing there a minute.
I was just like,
And like he's on the phone.
Yeah.
And then it was a little awkward. You looked a little awkward for a second just because it was like weird because
he was
on his
phone. It
was
weird because he seemed like he didn't want to be bothered. But at the same time, I was like, man. Yeah. I can't like not take this opportunity to get a picture with this fool, man.
Yeah, we're just cruising.
I hate to do that to people. I only ever ask for like pictures with people. Like if I see him at like a fan fest or something, that's the first time I've ever like asked for someone's picture in like public. But at the same time, it's fucking Henry Cejudo, so I couldn't. It's like if I saw Ben Askren in public, those two like, I'd have to get a picture with him for sure.
Right,
for sure.
That's your boy for sure. Oh, that was cool. It was cool seeing him. He was real cool.
Funny
about
shit,
it.
Guys is. Although Ben is my boy, I got a fucking picture with Robbie Lawler, so we can't do
that. Right, yes.
At the fucking open workout. He ended up giving pictures. A lot of guys gave out pictures during the open workout.
Yeah, let's see, Robert Lawler.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Lawler came through the crowd. No, we were right up front, because like I said, being locals, we got there early as fuck. So we're right up at the fucking fence, you know, or whatever you call it, the little
Met
gate.
Met some cool people over there,
Met
too.
Met lots of cool folks, yep, some fucking... A lot of cool people in town for the fights.
Fuck yeah.
That's another cool thing. We met people from all over the world here this past weekend. And then a dude from Arizona, a dude from out in London. Yeah. Fucking people traveling for the fights. That was cool. Yeah, that was definitely dope. But
back to the, like,
the actual open workouts
were
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the open workouts were cool.
Got a picture with Anthony Smith, too, during the open workout.
Yeah, met Anthony Smith, met Kamaru Usman.
We were gonna meet John Jones. But he was only doing group pictures, and it was like an hour-long wait.
Yeah, and he was the last person on, too.
Yeah. It was forever.
I got to say, man, I like John Jones. He's my favorite fighter. and I really appreciate anybody that's willing to take photos with the fans. But I was a little annoyed when he came out, and then he decided he acted like he was the only fighter that had taken pictures that day, and none of us knew how to do it. He's like, "We'll figure out how to get this done." I was like, "Dude, like four fucking people have done this before you."
Yeah, but then
it'll
again,
get done easy.
But then
homie.
Again, though, how long? All those people, it took them so fucking long to take all those pictures.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's only the people in the front row, I guess, like ourselves were. But still, it's dope. It's nice of them to do that shit.
Yeah, dude, we're in the background on Embedded because of
that. Yeah, you can see you on Embedded, and in a little while later in the video, you can see my bald ass head. And then it was weird, the camera angle when Robbie Lawler signing that girl's
Yeah, we were right fucking
stuff.
Next
like,
to her.
She
was
literally
like,
the person
fuck?
Right beside us, like the cameraman and... My face were about 4 inches apart, and then Robbie Lawler came to me, and then to you, but they just cut us right
they
out
cut
of there.
Us
They're
out.
Like, "Fuck that shit. We're gonna keep this cute girl right here. Then we're gonna cut to this other cute girl, but these SWAT MMA motherfuckers with those SWAT MMA shirts. Nah, they're out the video."
Dude, I wonder if we were on the news because then
we
got
been on the
by
news,
the news
yeah.
guy.
We did get interviewed by CBS local here, but I haven't had a chance to go back and check on it.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck. Be honest, but that was
fun. Right. But that's fun nonetheless.
We still got
it's cool.
interviewed. What's up? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so we're strolling through the casinos where you saw Henry Cejudo, which was dope as fuck. And then at the fucking
the weigh-ins were cool too.
The weigh-ins were very cool.
It was cool how they did it.
Yeah, we had the press conference
like
before
the weigh-ins. Before
yeah, the UFC 236.
Man, there were some
conference.
Great fucking hecklers at that press conference, dude.
Yes, there were.
They were fucking funny. None of them were like mean-spirited either. They were all like funny as fuck, just like bouncing off every question that was getting asked. It was hilarious.
It was. It was a fucking good time. Like, UFC, these events are great leading up to the fights.
Who was it? They asked. They asked Kelvin Gastelum what he needed to beat Israel Adesanya, and the fucking crowd, that dude in the crowd's like, "Jesus."
He said he needed Jesus.
And like, even Dana White was having a hard time keeping it together. He was like, "Next question."
Yeah, that was funny. Adesanya was laughing at that one, too.
Oh, fuck. But yeah, it was all fun, man.
Yeah, that's all good. They had the press conference was in the same venue as the weigh-ins, so it took place like
Which
immediately.
Which made it
kind of
cool though, because when we actually got some pretty dope seats because of that.
Yeah, we were in like the seventh row from the stage, which is good because it's it's stadium seating,
yep.
So it was like the perfect.
And then
seat
we all
like
got and then
right
we got to
line.
Keep our seats for the weigh-ins because it freaking they. I was glad though because sometimes they do clear it out and then like refill it. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Which would have sucked. But luckily they didn't. It was cool.
No, that was very cool. And then
The fucking fights, man. Fuck.
The fights were absolutely...
They absolutely lived up to all the hype. That was one really fucking good card. I mean, when you really look at it, the two main fights that everyone was really looking forward to weren't that interesting, to be honest. But the whole rest of the card definitely lived up to the hype.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to share
one
other little thing from the open workouts, which was kind of cool, because there was the big story coming out of those open workouts was, of course, Colby Covington showing up during
Usman's
open session.
Yeah.
And where that was from us was approximately, I would say, 9 or 10 feet to our right. Like, it was just right there. Like, we were just off camera view when that happened. And
well,
so we could see Colby real well.
What was weird, though, is like you didn't even realize, and a lot of people didn't even realize it. I literally just like looked over there. I was like, "That looks like Colby Covington."
Yeah.
And then fucking, because I saw the MAGA hat, I was like, "Oh, that's got to be Colby." And then fucking, he starts putting out that fucking little mini megaphone. And I was like, "Dude, that's Colby Covington." You're like, "Where?" I was like, right fucking there. And you're like,
he was right there. Yeah.
The UFC security was pissed, dude. They were like, "Get him the fuck out of here."
Yeah, we have toyed with the idea of following him out because he was going down an empty section of the casino. And like,
yeah, he was going
to a
dead end.
We know where it is. It's a dead end. So we could have followed Colby and his team there and hopefully, maybe talk to him for a minute. But we would rather stay at the workouts anyway.
Well, he was in the middle of a performance, too.
Yeah, he was in the middle of his shit, which I admit, that shit had me laughing.
It was funny for sure when
it
happened.
Funny. It was pretty fucking funny.
He even got the whole fan started screaming Colby. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
even I did. I don't even like Colby.
Yeah.
And I was doing it just because it was a troll.
He's getting the crowd swinging in
his
favor.
It was his first like real good troll. Like, all the other trolls are pretty stupid, you know? And then this one was the first one that was like, all right, that was funny.
You got to give credit where credit's due sometimes.
Although he had some interesting fucking... Let's just dive into it. He had some real interesting fucking tactics this weekend. Kind of stepped over the line a few times.
Colby did, or other people?
No, Colby. Like,
what did he do this weekend that you felt was possibly over the line?
Arguing with Tyron Woodley's mom while he's getting his ass whooped. I think that's a little over the line. Like, you got to understand that.
I would
agree. That's a little much, man. You shouldn't
argue with a man's mother, especially when that man's getting his ass kicked.
Watching him getting his ass kicked, man. She's obviously feeling some type of way about it. Like, you don't need to be an asshole.
Yeah, I didn't hear about
and
that,
fuck
actually.
It. Yeah, well, that's why Dana White ended up going up to him after. He was like, hey, go to the back as soon as the fight ends. Because they wanted him to do press and shit, and he's like a couple times had to go over there. But, hey, man, chill out. He said he went up to him like 3 or 4 times throughout the card. Said, hey, man, chill out, because he was getting a little wild.
I heard Dana say he told him not to fuck it up because he was getting the title shot and he was getting the win.
Well, and then he fucking does this. I mean, it really wasn't warranted by him, but the shit that happens today, that's kind of a fucking ugly note to end his weekend. That was really where he was kind of what everyone was talking about.
Well, let's hold off on that a little bit, because I side with Colby on what we see of that one.
Well,
but
yeah,
you're right.
But you know what I mean?
Harassing T-Wood's mom, that's not cool. You got to leave.
What I'm saying, it was just a series of things this weekend that I think that what happened today, some people are on Usman's side because of what happened this weekend, and some people just don't like Colby genuinely. I kind of don't like him, but I don't like him because of his style of fights, and he's kind of like cringeworthy to me. Like, I don't dislike, because I don't believe that's his actual, like...
No, he's playing a character.
Yeah,
people.
Exactly.
And if, like, you don't understand it, then...
I just don't find him very interesting, is what I'm saying.
You don't have to like the character. You don't have to even say it's very good.
Like, I don't dislike him, but I don't like him whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of neutral. I usually am going to choose against him, but, like, I don't hate him.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like,
he's got people siding with against him, and here's what happened.
Because everyone thinks he's a fucking jackass, because he is a fucking jackass, you know?
Well, sure
he goes
he
after people all the time, and then expects people to fucking like him. Like, going after Jones when he fucking posted that shit, when he's like, oh, headed over, like, more juiced up than Jones, always fucking saying shit like that. It's like, dude, why the fuck even go after Jones? You and Jones were friends before. You're just, like, ruining your friendship because you just want to be a dick. Then all the shit, he just says stupid shit. And then the whole we're doomed thing, and, like, he just takes it too far a lot. You know what I'm saying? I think that makes people really dislike him.
It does.
And it's hard to ever justify anything that happens to him and not to be like, well, fuck him.
Well,
he deserves
that. Let's
you know?
Set the scene here, because there's a lot of people that probably haven't heard about this. Maybe don't pay that much close of attention. Colby, this was earlier today.
Troll.
So this is Sunday.
Yeah.
When we're recording this, okay? So the day after the fights, Colby's still here in Las Vegas. He's at the Palms Casino, and he's in a fucking buffet line, and he's surrounded by senior citizens and children. And he's fucking literally
not really
going
children.
To go
it
eat.
Was like,
well, there's
women.
Like two kids,
yeah.
There's a woman, and there's
some random two dudes who tried to break it up too, like
some seriously old people.
Yeah.
And then members of Kamaru Usman's team, namely like, His bodyguard and his controversial manager, Ali Abdul Aziz, who literally swung on Colby.
He
punches
him
fucking Colby. They attack him.
Yeah, his bodyguard hit Colby too. And then his bodyguard also was just pushing this random dude like all over the place.
Yeah,
the dude was just like, hey man, no, don't fight here, don't fight here. And he's like, just like, fuck you.
And you've got Colby did not fight back. Colby tried to back off, de-escalate. Usman, from what we can see, also
tried
to break
it up.
And Colby's literally saying, we get paid to fight in a cage, you dumb motherfuckers.
But at the same time, I feel where Usman's coming from, because Colby talks
all
this shit.
Well, look, Usman tried to break it up as near as we can say, but how do we feel about an MMA manager taking a fucking swing
on
a person literally standing next to fucking senior citizens?
You're supposed to be a representative of the fucking client.
In a buffet line.
You know what I'm saying?
That is assault.
That's crazy.
I don't care if... You can't, there's no it is or isn't. Like, oh, well, he talks shit. That still doesn't give you the right to assault somebody.
Yeah.
If I see you... and I say, you're a fucking jackass, and you punch me, you assaulted me. It doesn't matter if you think I deserved it or not. Yeah. Okay? So we, and you have to take that emotion out of it. Like, I don't like Colby either, but fuck Ali Abdulaziz attacking people.
Yeah, Ali's,
like, a manager is fucking swinging on somebody who's paid to fight in a cage.
Ali has a history of this now.
Ali's a very
So let's just take it back. Let's take it back. He did this. Yeah, he's super controversial. So let's just, take it back to the recent. So Marlon Moraes was going to fight Jimmy Rivera, went through a few times, and Ali kind of stepped in there talking about, oh, when Marlon's done, I'll sign to fight you, and I'll kick your ass too. Like, all right, dude, that's a little much. Like, you're a fucking manager. Shut the fuck up. First of all, you're not supposed to go out there and be like, this person turned this, and this fight down. Like, he a lot of times tells fighters.
That's not the first fighter he's threatened, but yeah, that's still, you know, just talk. Like,
okay, and then let's take it to the next level. Let's take it to the next level. The whole Conor McGregor thing and him, like, that was, you know, that all got real dark, and what happened.
Dark, but all, you know, that's where I first learned that how, I mean, I knew the dude was how shady. Dark it I'd was. Heard about his shadiness before, but that was like piqued my interest in all.
And then now it boils really over to shady. This. Boils over to this, where he's actually striking his client's opponents, which begs a question. How can you let him in the octagon after Usman wins his next title fight or loses or any one of his clients?
Yeah, because he's always
wins
there.
Wins a title
like
fight.
He was,
you know what I'm saying?
Photobombing the front of the goddamn photos of Usman in the cage after the fights. I'm like, Jesus, dude. Way to stick yourself in front of all your fucking people.
Yeah.
But whatever. All the fighters seem to love this dude. And I mean, we're not fucking journalists here. Well, I'm not going to sit here and pretend we've investigated the guy.
Somehow,
but there's other journalists that are.
Somehow, some way, he seems to get his guys all the best fights.
Yeah, well, if you want to fucking learn on the theories behind that, you can Google that shit, people, or you can check out Mike Russell, MMA reporter.
I don't know. All I gotta say is there's some shady shit back behind him that eventually will come out for sure. But as of right now, it's just stupid, man. It's fucking childish. You're a fucking manager. You're not a fighter. What the fuck are you doing?
Like, dude, in my opinion, that dude, like, he's so shady, Don King would turn and look at him and go, damn, son, what are you doing?
Well, just think about it that way. What if Dana White just started fighting people, dude, because they were, like, what the fuck?
Like a Bellator fighter or something?
Yeah, something like that,
like,
exactly.
You know, some fighter that wasn't under his contract, you know, like...
It's like, come on, bro.
Crazy. And so Colby threatens to call the police, and he gets some flack and people saying he's a pussy, he deserves to be
attacked.
Here's
the problem, man. That goes back to what we talked about before. It's his history, man. It's his history that people don't like.
I get the people that don't like it. It's not that I don't understand it. I just think that's a stupid viewpoint. You can't justify shit because of words any more than Khabib's allowed to go flying out of the fucking cage and attack people because they said words. That's why he got a $500,000 fine and a fucking year suspension. I mean,
you can do it, but
there's consequences.
Yeah.
Like, we live in a civilized society, and these are people that... Does he really think that, like, Colby's going to fight him? Like, does he think that they're going to break into a fist fight? And do people really think, Colby, yeah, you should fight him right there at the fucking buffet line?
Well, like, what are you doing, though? Because now you're putting your guy's title fight in jeopardy. What if that bodyguard just stuck Colby on the chin, broke his jaw?
Right.
Then what?
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
I mean, Ali's not a fighter, but let's just say... Colby had nose surgery. Let's say he pops him right in the nose with his hands down, breaks his nose again.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are we going to do? Like, what the fuck are you doing? I think that's kind of what Usman was thinking, too. Usman was kind of thinking that way, too. I think he was like, hey, man, chill out. Like, I got to fight this guy still. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're risking the next title fight?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, the stage has already been set. All the work's been put in behind the story now with both these guys, and it goes way back. Think about, like, International Fight Week last year is kind of where it started between those two. You know, they were talking shit. Usman was talking about, yeah, man, motherfucker, I was back there. He didn't keep that same energy. He said that a long time ago, man. He said that like July last year about Kobe. And then he was like, oh, all he does is tweet shit and like fucking all that shit like that. And then it boils over to this where Kobe's crashing his fucking workout and thinks he's in his head. They're always getting in Twitter wars and fucking. Then, sure, it's going to boil over, but it should be boiling over in the cage, not outside the cage.
Easy yes. This is where I don't understand that line of thinking is because, I don't think Kobe should be fucking with Tyrone's mom. That's not cool.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Tyrone's
mom is not to be fucked. That's not shit you should be doing. But, I mean, it wasn't even Woodley coming after him. Like, but yeah. this line of thinking where, like, you have to, where, like, Usman says, keep that same energy when I see you in person as you have on Twitter. It's like, do you not understand that Twitter is a fight promotion tool? Like when Ben Askren was coming, because he said the same thing to Ben Askren, and Ben's like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Ben's I'm volunteering also, to fight you in a cage. Ben, why are Ben you also just trying to fight me backstage? Means, well, yeah, but I do. You do. Yeah. Ben does now. But do you not understand? This isn't real life. This is fight promotion. Yeah. It's your fucking job. Kobe is out there building interest in a fucking fight by pissing off everybody on the roster. He's doing it on Twitter publicly because that's a promotion tool. Yeah. He's not doing it backstage when there's no cameras because it's a fucking act. Well, it's fight promotion.
It's easy as this is. What happened both? Let's just boil down to the simplest point. What happened in both situations with Ben and Kobe? What did both of those situations end with?
Usman approaching them outside of the thing, trying to fucking fight them.
No, but listen. What in the grand scheme of how those confrontations both go down, how did they both end?
I don't know. That's what
with
I just said.
Ben and with Kobe going, what the fuck are you doing? Yes. We're supposed to be doing this in the cage.
In the cage, yes.
That's how both of those confrontations end. If you watch the fight... Too. If you watch the one where he tries to run up on Ben, and Ben's just like, what are you even talking about, dude? I'll beat you up. Let's do it. Sign the contract. But what the fuck are we going to get in a fist fight? Like, outside the cage? Why?
Right.
I get paid to do that.
Which is the same attitude Kobe is taking. Yeah, exactly. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? What? Stop.
You trying to make some money or what? Like, you're like, I don't want to fight you for free. I want to kick your ass, but... You're gonna have to pay me to kick your ass as well. You know
that's my point too. I don't understand that line of thinking. So bottom line on Ali Abdulaziz swinging a punch at Colby Covington.
It's just stupid, man. Is what it boils down to.
What do you think should happen here? Then I'll give you my thought.
I just think they need to have a serious. I mean, I don't really know what the UFC can do beyond. I don't know what I don't know. Because, they always kind of default to it's in the city's laws or whatever the fuck,
Yeah, they can't what happened punish him, but they can ban him from events or ban him from the cage.
Well, not necessarily, but think about it this way. Because, think about when Cyborg fucking cracked that bitch during International Fight Week.
Yeah, but that was a fighter, not a fighter's manager. This would be like a corner man doing some shit and then that corner man not being allowed to come back in. Happened before.
Oh, I thought you were talking about to Usman.
No, I'm talking about Ali. Oh. What should they do? Should Ali be punished here? Should anybody do anything? Should people say shit?
I think he should.
Should everybody ignore it?
I think he should have a serious... Like, Dana needs to have a serious, sit down with this motherfucker and be like, man, you are... This is, your last chance. Like, you can't be fucking doing shit like that.
Swing on fighters.
You can't do that. Like, I understand if you guys are trying to promote the fight and you're going to talk shit to guys. I get that. That's whatever. But I can't have you swinging on my guys, straight up. If you're swinging on my guys, I can't have you in the octagon. I can't have you at the press conference.
I feel the same way.
I can't have you at the weigh-in.
Yeah.
I can't have you there. Because I'm... Who's to say in the next Conor Khabib fight, Ali doesn't step on the stage during the press conference and try to fight Conor or try to fight anybody in his team.
Fucking guy.
You know what I'm saying? It's just childish bullshit that he needs to get over. It's a shit. Shit talk sells fights, man. Dude, but if you want to sell the fights, you got to make the fights. And if you make the, you can't make the fights if you're out here fighting in the streets. Straight up, that's all. Yeah. That's it. Next.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't really think he should I don't think the U.S. is going to do anything with this. They should talk to this guy. And I think he's showing some signs of cracking under a little pressure, maybe from some outside forces. From the shit that could be going down.
Fuck him.
Yes, sir.
Let's
let's now bounce into UFC 235 itself, like the actual fight card. Now, we're not going to talk about every single fight on the card, but we're going to hit a lot of the prelim and main card fights, though. Let's just start at the bottom, though, before we get to the good shit. How about Diego Sanchez defeating Mickey Gall by a second round TKO?
I think Mickey was compromised.
I would never seen anything like that from that kid before. Not that we have a whole lot. He's young. He's got, what, six fights?
I mean,
wow, did he ever gas?
He didn't really make any excuses. He said he gassed in there, but he did. He said, I don't know, I had an adrenaline dump. I just started swinging for the fences. He said he also like passed out during his weight cut. It's like, maybe you should just go up to 85, bud. You're 6'2". You're long. He's got good striking. He just needs to time it better, you know? Like, he hit Diego with some good shots in the first round. Oh,
he was looking good before he got completely tired.
Yeah, he just literally
gassed. Which was about 2-3 minutes into the fight when that started. And by round two,
but then again, he also fucking threw everything he had at him in the first 2 minutes. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah, it was like, he probably landed like 15 punches, but he probably threw like 25.
It started off, his striking looked improved. He's been working with Joe Schilling on his striking. He looked good in the beginning, but then he obviously looked compromised. It's got to be the weight cut. He's a big dude. Look how much bigger he was than Diego.
Yeah, he was much
bigger. He's so much bigger.
Diego's looking fucking good, man. That's two wins in a row. Two dominant victories as well. His ground game has really evolved.
Diego is looking good. It's kind of undeniable.
You're hating.
I find Diego annoying. He's a savage in the cage.
He's a fucking savage, dude. He's been some of the best fights I've ever seen.
I just find him annoying. That's all. I'm not knocking him as a fighter. Yeah, he's a fucking goddamn beast. But
he's a savage.
And I didn't expect him to win this fight.
I did not at all, either.
But I didn't expect this tired, sloppy.
Yeah, he looked like shit, for sure.
Like, I had people texting me, like, is Mickey Gall sick? Shit. Like, what's going on?
Remember I called you? I was like, dude, does he look sick, dude? Like, or something wrong with him? He looked awful. He just crumbled, too. Like, when he was on, I want to say he gave up Mount super easy, I want to say three times, right? And you know what one thing about Diego Sanchez that no one really gives him credit for? Is he has a process of breaking people down. You know, he's willing to go in there and bang with you in the first round, but he's not looking for the huge shots to put you out. He's looking for the huge shots to the body, you know, maybe a big uppercut, something that's going to either rattle you or, like, really hurt you later in the fight. You know, he's looking to take you down or put you on the cage and just wear you out from you having to have his body weight on you. The whole time, you know. Maybe he's not doing a lot of damage, but the progression of that tires you out and wears you out to where later in the fight, the damage is there and you can't take it. And that's literally what we saw in that fight. Mickey Gall hung in there until he got so tired that he couldn't take it anymore. And that's what happened. He was so tired he couldn't even block anymore. And Diego just started laying elbows and they call it.
I mean, not taking anything away from Diego. Whether or not Gall was compromised or whatever, Diego kicked his fucking ass.
Yeah, compromised or not, he still got his ass whooped.
He's not, I don't think he's Diego's relevant fault. In the title picture, but he's relevant in the fun fight and, you know, maybe match him up against somebody.
Let's see him.
In the lower,
why not?
15 to 10 rank.
Yeah.
See what the fuck happens, you know. As for Mickey Gall,
you know what is kind of a bad sign, though? Six pro fight. Did you hear before his walkout, John Annick goes, you always wonder when it's going to be his final walk to the octagon. I was like, man, that's kind of fucked up to say.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little much. I was like, come on, Annick. You got to do better. He hasn't shown
any signs of quitting anytime soon.
No. He doesn't give a fuck. He's talking about trying to go into some anti-aging shit.
That was bizarre. In his post-fight speech, he starts talking about anti-aging.
He's like, I've been, since I was 20 years old, I've been into anti-aging, so I think he was trying to say that, like, he's preserved his body this whole time, I want to say.
I have no idea. I heard somebody else talking about anti-aging today, too. He said he was, it was this video I was watching, he said that he wanted to live to be 400 years old what? Through a combination of this anti-aging cybernetic shit with Jesus. Nanotechnology. I'm like, wow. That's fucking bizarre.
Dude, I'm too high to even understand what the fuck that means.
Some crazy shit. But, you know, you can always count on Diego Sanchez to pretty much say savage. Some crazy shit.
He's a savage, bro.
He's a savage, and he says a lot of crazy shit.
Savage. He's absolutely. The only person you ever... He's one of those guys, you know, that's in, like, a fucking war, and then, like, you slow down, and he looks at you and starts punching himself in the face like, come on, motherfucker! Like, he's that kind of motherfucker.
Well, let's move on. We had Cody Stammen defeat Alejandro Perez.
Perez, for only decision. Fighting once for every year for the last 5 years, really looked like shit.
Yeah. I mean, it was an all right fight.
Nothing he fought not to lose. Not terrible. He never fought to win. Yeah. Stammen was always pushing forward. Always, you know, he was always first with the combos. He wasn't super successful with his kicks, but he had a few in there that were, you know, timed pretty solid. And there literally was not until, what, the third round did Perez really put together any kind of offense.
Yeah, there just wasn't much there. He needs to fight more.
He needs to fight more, and he needs to put his strikes together. He was hit in the third, don't get me wrong, he was laying some bombs on him, but it was one step back, regain your composure, one step back, regain your, like, you got to put them together if you're going to beat these top guys. Those big shots against the lower guys are going to put those guys down and then lead to finishes. But you can't put everybody away with one shot when you're fighting in these higher levels.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add to that. That's pretty much sums that fight up. But the next fight, however, was short. It was sweet. It was fucking awesome. That was Johnny Walker defeating, on short notice, Johnny Walker coming in and defeating Misha Cirkunov by a first-round TKO, 36 fucking
filled
seconds.
Filled in for Ovince St. Preux.
With a flying knee that was just
savage.
Beautiful.
Fucking savage. Remember when I sent the car? I was fucking going into work, and I was telling you, I was like, dude, fuck, I'm going to miss the Johnny Walker fight, I think. But we'll see, because last time I didn't miss it because it was so quick. Yep. And then what the fuck happens? I'm pulling into work, and all that. And I fucking looked down, and then, boom, hits him with the knee. I was like, oh, again. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was fucking savage. And he fucking, oh, by the way, although he did, like, pop his shoulder out of place, they popped it back in. They said he's good. He said,
yeah,
he's going to have an MRI.
His shoulder in his post-fight
he's going to have an MRI, but they said that he hasn't had any swelling or any abnormal, like clicks or anything in his shoulder.
Yeah, not injured in the fight, folks. Injured in
the in the celebration. He did the worm.
He just fell into it. Just fell.
And he's like, oh, fuck.
Threw his shoulder out.
Everyone in the light heavyweight division fucking thanked motherfucking whoever they believe in. He fucking popped his shoulder out of place. They don't want to fucking fight him, man. He's a tough mofo.
I gotta tell you, watching that, not only does he land this flying knee, but is a move he's practiced a lot. And it was a move.
His timing is just so good.
It was a move that he set up with a lot of feints, lot of herky jerky movements, a lot of in and out, his hands all over the place, and then just beautiful timing. Like
Dana said that he's like, this guy's calling me every 2 weeks wanting to fight. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, he's going to get matched up with, he said he doesn't want to rush into fighting John Jones, which is good because he's young and fresh still.
Don't do that.
Is a great win for him.
No, Dana said he's not even getting anybody in the top five.
No, he shouldn't. No.
I think he should get a top top 15.
Get a top 15 guy, see
what
happens.
Isn't Cirkunov, was he 13, I think?
Yeah, but...
You think it breaks? I think you put Walker at... I'd say put Walker at 15.
Let's give him another one with a full camp.
I think you put him at 15, and then you give him, like, maybe someone on the backside, you know?
I think so. All right, well, this next fight, I completely disagreed with the decision. I haven't had time to go back and rewatch the fight, but watching it live, it's the headliner there on the fucking undercard, which was Zabit Magomega Sharapov defeated Jeremy. I don't know, that's a mouthful, right? Defeated Jeremy Stevens by a unanimous decision. I had Stevens win in the fight 2-1. He basically lost it 2-1.
I think it was a coin toss, to be honest. It was a fucking good fight, man. Here's the problem. And this always goes back to the whole quantity over quality. You know what I'm saying? Like, where it's tough to win fights anymore because everyone always talks about the stats after fights, you know? It's like,
The stats in that first round are misleading.
They're misleading, for sure. They're
very misleading.
You know what I'm saying? On paper, if, let's say, there was no real big storylines from that fight, is what I'm saying. And so now when you look towards his next fight, you're not going to look back and be like, you know, oh, that was a super close fight, when on paper it didn't look like a close fight, but Jeremy Stevens gave him everything he could handle.
Dude, here's why I think Jeremy Stevens won the first round, despite the stats being like, I don't know, it was like 14 strikes to 7 in Zabit's favor. But if you watch, I haven't gone back and re-looked at it, but I watched it fucking live. Like, Jeremy was winning that entire fucking first round. He was stalking forward. Zabit was on the run, moving all around. Now, Jeremy wasn't connecting much, but he connected like a few times. He was stalking him. He was controlling the cage. He was learning to cut him off a little bit, getting in the groove. And then with 1 minute left, he took a fucking severe kick to the nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he doesn't take his full 5 minutes because he's a fucking tough dude, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and then immediately fight back on. And then Zabit just rushes him and does like 20 seconds of fucking crazy shit. He does the fucking Showtime kick off the cage. He misses. He does all these flurries. Yeah. And then
it looked cool. It looks cool.
And then it ends. And then Steven starts coming back with some shit. And then the round ends. And that was Zabit's entire action. The entire round, his whole offense was, he bum rushed him after he kicked him in the balls. Okay, I get it. You want to take advantage of it. Because obviously there's no way Stevens was recovered from his ball kick in fucking 1 minute. Game. We've all been there if you're a guy. Even 5 minutes probably ain't enough to really recover. Know. But you really ain't good to go.
To get kicked in that hard in the balls?
Yeah. These guys, they want to stay in the groove. They're fucking tough motherfuckers.
I'm not making excuses. That's always been Jeremy Stevens' biggest, like, that's always been Jeremy Stevens' most, like, biggest thing for him, but it's also been his biggest downfall, dude, because he's so tough that he goes in there and he gets in these wars. And he's willing to exchange, you know?
Yeah, and so I didn't think that Zabit won the round by doing that in that little, like, 20 to 30 second span. I might be a little off on the time. Like I said, I haven't rewatched it, but that's how it played out. Like, it was just this little burst.
It was a flow.
Right after a nut kick. And he was taking advantage of it. I don't blame him for that. You know, I would do the same fucking thing. you fucking run in. Like, just like after the eye poke, the smart motherfucker's going to throw some combos pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, like Daniel Cormier did against Stipe Miocic.
Stop fucking bringing that shit up, dude.
It's just an example. I don't blame him. It's what you do. And I don't blame Zabit for doing it, but I just didn't think that won him the fucking round. I still thought it was Stevens' round, ultimately. Yeah. And then Stevens, obviously, won. I gave him the third round, like most other people did. So, yeah. Or was it the second? Now I'm fucking high. I don't remember. But I had Stevens 2-1.
It's tough, man. It comes down to the oohs and ahs, man. Because, you know, it's like, in fights like that, the crowd is sometimes misleading, you know? And I feel like that was one of those times where Jeremy Stevens was probably landing the better quality strikes, but Zabit was making it look so much more interesting, although he was, like, kind of missing, and he was also just, like, catching him just on the end and shit like that, you know what I mean? And it was like,
maybe Stevens won the second and then Zabit won the third. I can't remember right now. I'm going to go back and rewatch
the fight. Well, then you look at it on paper, though, those five takedowns got to count for something. You know? That's the one thing I got to say.
They do.
I mean, it's a tough one.
Ultimately, split doesn't matter what I think. I disagree with it. No, it wasn't even a split decision.
It was unanimous. It was unanimous? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it is what it was.
I just watched the replay. I didn't watch it live.
Yeah. It is what the fuck it was. And ultimately, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But Stevens needs a win in his next fight, that's for sure. But that rounded out the fucking the undercard. But
really, there's really nothing to be ashamed of if you're Stevens, though, because that guy is the future of the division. And you just...
That's what they're saying.
You know what I'm saying? You just gave him all you could handle.
Yeah.
So what's that mean for you? That you're really not that far away. You're still in the mix at this. He's had a late career resurgence for sure, and I think it's not over. I think he's still got a lot of gas in the tank for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
He's a tough mofo.
Well, onto the opener on the main card was a hell of a fight. I mean, it got fight of the night, $50K for each fighter as a bonus. I thought it was some of the more stupid choices I've seen a fighter make.
Yeah.
In a cage, but it was Pedro Munhoz defeating Cody Garbrandt, former champ there, by a first-round TKO at almost the end of the rounds, like 4 minutes and 52 seconds of round one, so 8 seconds left before that shit was done.
Well, here's the thing. Let's take a step back. What caused these terrible decisions was an accidental headbutt. Looking back, we all saw it. It looked like...
Munhoz headbutts Cody. Cody gets mad. Let's say the stage for people that might not have seen it. Just to recap real quickly, Munhoz has accidental headbutt against Cody.
Well, Munhoz goes to shoot, and Cody goes to throw a hook, and he leans in as Munhoz is taking the shot. So he like kind of headbutts him, and it knocks him down. Everyone thought, because Munhoz like kind of was throwing a punch, it was kind of hard to tell, you know? So it kind of looked like he landed a punch, so... The ref didn't step in. Normally, if it's like it's a headbutt knockdown, if it's intentional, obviously, they'll stop it for a second. But it looked kind of generic. Like, it looked like it was a punch that landed, but actually it was a headbutt, which kind of pissed Cody off.
Kind of.
When he got up, he ended up getting tagged because he made some terrible decisions and winged some punches in and then almost gets finished, but then ends up getting up. But then when he gets up, he gets his feet behind him and then ends up hurting Munhoz. But then what happened is he got too confident in there. You know,
he just got too reckless again. Crazy reckless.
After he knocked him down, he was
I don't see that as confidence. Really he got super reckless because he was so angry. He got emotional from a headbutt.
Here's the thing. I think
and just went wild.
Here's the thing. After he got knocked down, though, he kind of picked his shots, and when he started picking his shots, he ends up knocking Munhoz down, but then he started getting wild again and getting knocked out.
I don't know. It's hard to not be in his shoes. It was so quick, though. To me, it just looked like him. What I saw was a fighter lose his cool again and react emotionally and to go fucking wild and get knocked out again because he went wild. Which is on a small level what he did against TJ as well, although he didn't react that bad. He still got into this wild exchange and got knocked the fuck out.
Pedro Munhoz is someone to fucking watch out for, though.
Yeah, that dude's got a chin, man.
It's tough.
Cody was socking him. Munhoz is basically like,
I don't know, man. If I'm Pedro Munhoz, I'm going to tell Marlon Moraes, back the fuck up, man. I just did exactly what TJ Dillashaw did to Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, that's 3 straight KO losses for Cody Garbrandt now.
Yeah.
From champ to 3 straight KOs.
I think that is a legitimate fight to be had there. I think if you're going to make the Henry Cejudo TJ Dillashaw rematch, I think a Pedro Munhoz Marlon Moraes fight makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
That'd be a tough one.
That will be a tough one.
Both guys are great on their feet. Both have great jiu-jitsu. Tough. That 135, man, how fucking long is TJ going to be able to hold that shit up? Because we got some real contenders now.
Got some killers coming, yeah.
You know?
No joke, man. That's good. Well, moving on to the next fight, we had the women's strawweight division on display with Tisha Torres losing to Weili Zhang, who is a hell of a fighter from China. Probably the best fighter we've seen from China in a long time. Like, even Dana was saying, they did tough over there a couple years ago, and the talent level is pretty low, and now this girl's, like, solid. She came out, I mean, she won a unanimous decision, but it was solid. Tisha Torres is a very legit fighter. She's a black belt in Taekwondo. She put on a show,
for sure.
She's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. She's a former kickboxer.
Yep.
Like, she's the Tiny Tornado's a bad woman. Like,
and in a division that has kind of a lot of contenders that have fought each other and shit like that, It's really nice to see a fresh face like that put on a great performance against a fighter like Torres, who's fought some of the best fighters in that division as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at her and you see how those two matched up. Zayn can fight with anyone in this
division. Yeah, it looks like it, and she's pretty impressive. She looks like she can.
We were talking about this earlier. I think a logical next fight for her would be maybe Nina Azarov, someone in the top five.
Yeah,
will really, really gauge where she's gonna go from here. Because what Torres was six, I want to say going into this?
Something like that.
And then Zhang was, I think, 12, something like that.
I think she just cracked number 15, actually.
Really? 15? Well, still, she's definitely on the way up now.
She's going to skyrocket up a bit ladder. Now.
Well, and like I said, in a division that doesn't really have many fresh faces, it's good to see someone like that. Her and Nina are two real rising stars, really, of these divisions. And now that we already know Rose has a fight, why not put those two together and winner gets a... Get us a shot next.
I like that. I think that's a dope idea. Moving on to the next fight. It was fairly controversial, but ultimately we saw Ben Askren defeat Robbie Lawler by a bulldog choke round one. Controversial because it was stopped early. Herb Dean, the referee, thought that Lawler was out. But he didn't see Robbie Lawler give the thumbs up. Robbie Lawler gave a thumbs up, and then immediately Herb Dean stepped in and stopped the fight. Tough situation. It's a good comeback by Ben, who was getting the shit beat out of him by Robbie Lawler. Like, bad.
Bad.
Like, real bad.
Here's the problem, though. People are acting like it was just... It's like a wash now, though. Here's the deal. The tide of the fight definitely had turned. Everyone could see that Ben was really starting to get his momentum, and Robbie was starting to fade a little bit.
Saying Robbie's starting to fade is a little bit. I agree, there's a momentum shift, but saying that the whole fight's tied is
No. I'm not saying that Robbie was done. What I'm saying is that Robbie's motor, that it was so high at the beginning of that fight, when Ben started to control him, it was kind of like, fuck, where do I go from here? You know what I'm saying? Like, once he had stopped the takedown for a minute, but once he actually got him down, it was like, all right, let's see what Ben's going to do now. Not, Robbie's going to get up right away, you know?
No, I agree. The tide had shifted, but I'm just bummed because I think that...
I'm bummed too. It's a sour note to a fight that should have been Ben's coming out party, you know?
Or not.
Or Robbie's
or
fucking
Robbie really
ascension back to the top.
Because Robbie was
Robbie
was looking amazing, like absolutely amazing. And I think we were in for an epic battle. I don't think that fight was going to end in the first round at all.
Like, I don't know, man.
I think we were in for some shit. Because listen, dude, if Ben Askren can come back from that severe beating he took. Robbie Lawler can survive a bulldog choke.
Here's the problem, Robbie fucking Lawler. Here's the problem, though.
I'm going to fire this other joint up.
Yeah, do that for sure. Here's the problem. Robbie kind of fucked himself a couple times there. Because he couldn't hear Herb, he didn't talk to him. And as a referee, when you see how his hand went down, it was kind of sketch. You cannot deny that totally. I will fucking play the fucking thing
right
now.
Dude, I watched the video I sent it to you earlier.
It goes down like this and just hits the fucking thing.
And then he gives him a thumbs up. He doesn't hit the thing. He doesn't touch ground. He lifts his hand up and he goes like this.
No, he does not. I'll fucking pull it up.
Let's not bring
it
up right now. We're in the middle of a show. But we can link to it later. I watched the fight live while you were working, and then I watched that shit like 30 fucking
times. I watched it hella
times
when I got home. Hella times.
There's a GIF that breaks it down like frame by frame. It's like... He gave a thumbs up.
Here's the problem, though. And even Robbie...
Like,
Robbie
everybody
even said,
from
listen.
Herb Dean to Dana to everybody has said that that fight was stopped too early. It doesn't
take
it away from...
Well, it does stop too early. I'm not saying
so
it wasn't
Robbie
supposed to stop too
early. Robbie didn't fuck himself.
He did, though. Listen, he did. He even said when he was in the choke, he could not hear what was going on.
That's not Robbie fucking himself.
I'm not
That's
saying
ben
he's
Askren.
Fucking
That's
himself.
That's literally
I'm
what
saying,
you said. Robbie
no,
fucked
I'm
himself
No, I'm saying he
here.
Fucked himself with his arm. He should have just picked
ben
his arm up.
Ben fucked Robbie with his arm around his fucking head where he was preventing him from not only speaking but from talking. It was a hell of a...
Well, yeah, obviously,
but
I'm saying
that's
what
fucked
out.
Him. See, because of where the arm was, that's why I say I don't think he was out. Because if it's blocking his mouth and his ears, it's not cutting off... fucking windpipe, and it's not cutting off blood flow to his head. But I think that we as fans got fucked out of what was going to be an epic fight. It doesn't take anything away from Ben Askren. He's not the ref. He didn't say please stop the fight. Herb Dean was extremely apologetic. Dana says they're running it back. Period. The end. Ben is where I think he's fucking up. He says he's not doing it, and I think this is where Ben. his scripted comments after the fight were whack. And
nah,
his,
dude, I agree with him.
Right,
what
now
is, it,
is
what does he gain? The
whack.
Division is moving on now. What does he gain from a fucking another fight with Robbie? He would gain so much more for beating Darren Till than he would beating Robbie. Honestly.
There's
honestly
ways that you can present that without sounding like an asshole. And I'm a Ben Askren fan. I'm not shitting on the guy.
I don't think he sounded
did
like an
asshole.
Did
you listen to his post-fight shit?
Yeah.
This is after he went with Chael Sonnen on a fucking video where they went with Brett Okamoto and criticized shit-talking and gave their opinion on all these different shit-talkers. And he said, the one thing you can never do is script your shit-talk. And then he gave an obviously scripted comments because it didn't fit the situation, which is how you know that bullshit was scripted. It didn't fit what happened at all. And he goes, Dana, how long before you bitch about that stoppage too? Is that the toughest you had?
Yeah, but that was in the heat of the moment.
No, it wasn't. That was completely fucking scripted,
bro.
Completely, it didn't fit what
okay,
he had
yeah,
just
it didn't
done.
Fit, but what I'm saying in his mind it does because it's
stoppage.
Fucking yeah, of course. But in his mind it does because that's the fucking heel turn he's trying to pull, man.
He said some scripted fucking shit. Look, he's usually on point. I love Ben. He's on point like 99% of the time, but that shit was whack.
I think it was just heat of the moment shit, dude.
And him saying
he was trying
it
to
like
make
this,
he was trying to make a statement.
If he thinks he has nothing to gain by fighting Robbie Lawler, then he should say that. Instead, he's saying, I don't want to fight Robbie. I didn't want to fight Robbie to begin with, and I'm not going to fight him again, which sounds like I know Robbie's going to kick my ass.
No, not necessarily.
Look.
I think, literally, what he has said multiple times, I only think he's probably going to fight in the UFC 4 or 5 times. I don't think a rematch with Robbie does anything for him. Because, like I said, I don't think at his age...
Other ways to present that, then, without...
Yeah, but you're not going to come out and say that after
shit.
Your first fight.
Some bitch
you're not
going to
come out there and say that after your first fight. But just look at everything behind the scenes, pretty much. All right?
No,
Ben's a little bit older.
We should just move on.
Well, no, I'm not going to... There's nothing to agree on.
It.
There's nothing to agree on. I'm just saying that I don't think he's going to be fighting in the UFC for... 10 fights. I think he's going to have 4 or 5 fights, and I don't think he's planning on rematching anybody. I think he's looking for whatever fight's going to sell the most and whatever fight is going to get him to the top the quickest.
It could be. And I'm not necessarily
saying... Darren Till
saying...
and him will talk shit, and they will have an epic battle, and it's going to be the same thing that everyone's want to see. It's the epic wrestler versus striker matchup.
I don't want to see that fight, dude. We just saw Woodley shut down fucking Till. I don't. What's
yeah,
Askren
I think
gonna
Ben
do?
Would fuck him.
Ben's
gonna
fuck Darren
Till
up, dude. I think Jorge Masvidal would be a much better fight for Ben. If
I don't know, dude.
Because
then
wins,
look at Masvidal when he fought fucking Damian Maia. Fucking Ben is like Damian Maia with hands.
Yeah, but Damian Maia is just fucking jujitsu.
Ben's got pretty solid.
That's a different entrance, isn't it, than Ben's fucking.
Yeah, but you know
legs.
What I mean. Did you see how? Well, same thing though. Jorge fought.
I mean, did you see what Robbie Lawler did to Ben Askren?
Yeah, that was
like,
pretty
you think,
intense.
I mean, not only did he beat
Dude,
the shit out of him, he picked him up on a takedown
can
and slammed
all,
him on
can
his
Can we
fucking
all take
head.
A second and appreciate how great Robbie's camp is? He looks fucking shredded, dude.
How about how
shredded.
Robbie Lawler has not issued one bitchy statement about this himself? Like all these
yeah,
people
but that,
complaining.
It's
because
that's not his MO, dude. He's always been that kind of guy. He's always been whatever. Fuck it, we could run it back. If whatever. But at the end of the day, I know what happened. He knows what happened, and we're gonna move forward. That's exactly what his statement's always gonna be after every single fight, bro. Every
Robbie
fight,
Lawler.
That's the exact statement, bro.
That shit was great. But yeah, you're right. His camp, yeah, his fucking, he was looking amazing.
Physically, looking really sharp.
Yeah, he was, it looked like he's a return to form for sure. I'd be interested to see who he fights next since I agree with you. I don't think Astro's going to accept the fight. I just think it's a bad look.
Sure it is.
So that moves us to the title fight, which was Kamaru Usman versus defending champion Tyron Woodley, who lost his title to Usman soundly and it, like embarrassingly bad. Like, that was an embarrassingly bad.
Yeah. Performance. Laid an egg, bro.
That's exactly what he said. Sometimes you come out. He said he felt hypnotized.
Sometimes he does. Sometimes I hate to say it, but that literally happens to everybody.
It does.
It literally happens. I'm not making excuses for Tyler Woodley. No, that's
just a fact of fight.
Because I know in the past I've said bad, like, talk shit about Kamaru Usman. He put on a great performance. Oh, and Tyron Woodley also looked like shit, though, at the same time. Tyron Woodley just looked like...
Yeah, it was a combination of both things, yeah.
Well, I think another thing he said really was kind of alarming, that he was so worried about Kamaru's, like, grappling. It's like, well, man, why are you so worried about his grappling? Because you're also a high-level grappler as well. Like, where's the confidence that you used to have? You know? His confidence has always been his biggest tool. And he just was never composed in that fight. Never got in rhythm and never really did anything.
No, he looked like a... He just didn't look like himself at all. It's a terrible fight on his part. Excellent performance by Usman. And it wasn't
just
because
Woodley was off. You know what Usman
really did, though? Usman was on point.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean,
Woodley was off.
Here's one thing I don't like about Usman and fucking Colby. They don't look to finish. They look to score.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Agree. They look to score. They don't look to finish.
Yeah, could,
although Usman has a lot, I think, more power than Colby does. But, like, dude, he's got a lot of decisions. A lot of decisions.
He does.
Same thing with Colby.
He does. But he's the new champ. He's facing Colby next. Woodley look like shit. He's going to need to get a fight in before he gets a crack at that title, don't you think?
Man, I think, yeah, for sure. Here's the thing, though. I didn't like the narrative that was out there about this whole card. You know, like, that like, Ben was just going to walk through Robbie, or that fucking Tyron was just going to walk through Kamaru. Like, both those fights, everyone knew were going to be fucking close. Both those fights were like, damn, those are some good fucking fights, man.
Yeah.
But honestly, I can't believe how Usman just shut out Woodley. Because it really just shut him out.
Woodley did nothing. I think he landed one good punch, maybe.
Yeah. I don't even know if that. He totally just laid
I mean, I'm sure he has some on the stats, but I mean, like a legit solid punch. I think
I can't remember who tweeted it, but one of the major reporters tweeted it was like, I don't remember what 40 strikes fucking Woodley threw in this fight.
No, I don't, none come to my mind either.
Yeah.
That sums that up. We got a new welterweight champ. He's fighting Colby next. We'll see what the fuck happens with that.
Yeah.
Then we had the main event. The GOAT, John Jones, beating Anthony Lionheart Smith by unanimous decision.
Classic John Jones.
Yeah. I mean, the scores show it as a 48-44 times 3, but that's because of a 2-point deduction. It would have been a sound 50-44.
Yeah.
So there's some 10-8 rounds in there as well.
Shout out to Lionheart for not backing out.
Yeah, Jones got the illegal.
He could have backed out.
He got an illegal knee in there.
End of the day.
It was unintentional.
Yeah.
It was a matter of different rules. Like in Nevada.
In Nevada,
that was illegal. If you're, in California, yeah, that was legal.
Yeah, so in Nevada, any part of your hands touching, you're downed. In California, if your palms down, you're downed. But if your fingertips are on the mat, you are no longer downed. So when John threw the knee, his fingertips were on the mat, not his palm. So he said,
folks,
he feels like it was trending forward. Like he felt like his momentum was trending up. That's why he threw it. Obviously, that makes sense, but it's a tough situation.
If you're wondering what we're talking about with these rules here being different, folks, and that might not make sense to you, and it's true, it doesn't make sense, it's illogical, but it's true. Because states are governed by athletic commissions who choose what rule sets they're using, and we had a unified rule set was voted on and passed.
Recently,
I guess it was
right?
Recently. It was within the last year or so, I believe. I'm not quite sure. I remember when it happened.
A lot
was,
of like great changes.
And it's a lot of great changes.
Like replay and stuff like that.
Where it's coming to a problem is not all states have
adopted
the set of rules. A lot of them are actually voting to keep the old rules, which is really fucked up. So you have fighters who, when they fight in California, they can do certain things. When they fight in Nevada, where Nevada's actually done even worse here.
Yeah.
Our dumbass athletic commission has adopted half of the fucking new rules and kept half of the old rules. So they got certain things that you can do, certain things you can't do in different states, and it's ridiculous. So
yeah.
the knee that John threw to Smith was illegal based on that discrepancies between these rule sets.
So, and then, but didn't they say the kick landed on the body or something?
Yeah. It was a legal kick. It was just close.
Oh. Okay.
Anthony
said it landed in his face. He said he
heard, did he? I hadn't heard that.
I don't know.
What had happened was they stopped the fight, and they asked Smith if he could continue. And if Smith had said, and he could continue, if he could have said he couldn't, and he would have won the fight by disqualification and actually won the title, which would have been a bitch move.
And he did not do it.
Instead, he said he was cool, it was fine, and then they gave John Jones a
two point
deduction for the infraction, thus the 48-44 scores all the way around.
But class of John Jones' performance overall.
Yeah, Lionheart's a tough motherfucker, and obviously he's a fucking solid dude as well.
Good, you know what I love about John Jones, man?
What's that?
His game plan is constantly evolving throughout the fight.
Yeah, his shit's...
He never does the same thing twice.
No, his fight IQ is incredible.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It's fucking incredible, man.
That is the way he's able to just switch up what he's doing at any point in the fight. It's fucking ridiculous. Like those spinning heel kicks to the body that he hit Smith with.
Mm.
Fuck, those were fucking savage, man.
Monster ones in a single round.
I mean, and Anthony tried to wear him pretty tough, but you could see it that, like, it really hurt.
Anthony's tough. This was no walk in the park for John Jones. Yeah. Anthony made a... I don't think Anthony lost any shine. No one expected him to come in.
If anything, I think he gained some shine.
I think so, too. He did a lot better than people.
He showed that he legitimately belongs here. Yeah. He is, and you know what also showed? That John Jones, although is just at the end of the day better than him, there's still a chance that maybe later in John's career, once, you know, whatever happens, that maybe Anthony can possibly, once Jones slows down, that Anthony can possibly pass him up.
He's a really good fighter.
Yeah. Like, I don't think, and fuck Luke Rockhold, fuck Thiago Santos, I don't think they're gonna fucking with him, dude.
No.
Like, people are like kind of putting those matchups
people
together.
Hear Anthony Smith's record and they think that he must not be a good fighter, and they don't realize that over the last like 8 years or something, he's 16-2 in his last 18 fights coming into this. Like, don't let his 13 losses like lead you into thinking like he fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, the dude, MMA is different than boxing. If you're, as we've gone over on this podcast many times, but
yeah,
he was 16-2 in his last 18 fights. That's
the best
lot,
fight, the best in this sport. At the end of the day, and Anthony Smith at this time last night was the best. When it came to everybody
that dude
else.
Was impressive as fuck. And John Jones was just John Jones once again. No one's going to beat this man.
John Jones goes in the after press conference. He goes, me and Anthony locked eyes when we were in the middle. When he was on the mat and I slicked at him, was like, you better get up, motherfucker. And he's like, all right.
Yep, that was funny.
But honestly, that was just a classic John Jones performance, and Dana White's pretty much confirmed, basically, that he's fighting Thiago Santos next.
Yeah, that all sounds all but a done deal. I mean, that's what Dana wants to happen. And John,
I'd like to see that fight. I think John finishes him, though.
Yeah.
Thiago's a little reckless. John is not. Exactly. John's going to pick his shots. Thiago tends to fade. It's going to be 5 rounds. I don't know.
That'll be a great
Thiago fight. Tends to fade in 3-round fights, so 5.
I think John finishes him.
I think
him.
John drags him to the deep water and finishes him. Yeah. You know, that's one thing that John always is good at doing. He almost did it to Anthony in the third, I want to say.
Anthony hung in there.
In the third, was it? When he fucking was just laying it on him, and it was just like, all right, Anthony's going down at any second. Like, Jones is just, like, putting together.
Yeah, did you hear Jones after the fight? He was super complimentary, like, in the cage.
Jones didn't even look like he got in a fight after.
I know, but he was saying that, like, he said that he had to change his strategy because he knew that he kept punching Anthony in the face and it just wasn't working. So he had to change that up.
Dude, Anthony's a tough mofo.
He's a good fighter.
The end of the day.
He's not done in this division.
Oh, absolutely not.
I'd like to see him fight Luke Rockhold next.
Yeah.
Although he might just
You know
take
what also
Luke
is
Rockhold
another
right on out.
You know it was another good fight for him, and just because the only connection they would have. I think Gustafson, that'd be a good fight. Just to see where it's at. Remember that fight almost was booked, but it ended up being Jones when he returned. So why not revisit that possible booking and do that one?
Yeah, I like that too. That's a good fight as well. Especially, you know, both of them coming off losses.
Definitely. To yeah. Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
To really gauge where Lionheart's really at. And then Rockhold, I don't really know if he has a dance partner right now.
Is he officially moved to 205?
Yeah. He's calling out all 205s. You've seen
That's
his
what
Twitter.
I thought. I just
he's
sure.
talking shit about Thiago Santos. Who the fuck talks shit to Thiago Santos? He doesn't talk shit about anyone.
Luke the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. We talked about this.
Yeah, we did last episode. But
that chin needs to carry up, or he's in trouble.
Yeah, the motherfucker needs to tuck his chin. I don't know if he can. I don't understand how he learned that at this age.
He's still fucking
MMA
posted videos of himself fucking training with 170s and shit. It's like, come on, bro. You're a 205er now. You need to start fucking training with 205s.
Some of these gyms need to incorporate shit differently. Or maybe it's because these guys don't get it when they're young. I don't
know. That's
a lot
the thing
of MMA fighters
is
just don't tuck
Khabib
their fucking chins, man.
Khabib and fucking him used to train together. So it's like, why are you training with a 155? Why don't you train with Cormier or Kane? Why are you fucking training with the 155ers?
Well, that probably wraps up our UFC 235 experience here, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
So, in the aftermath of UFC 235, at the post-fight press conference, Dana White says that the Conor McGregor-Cowboy Cerrone fight is not happening. He's got other things planned, and that's that. Do you believe him, Paul?
I don't know. It's going to really depend on how things... This could be a negotiation strategy, for sure. Maybe to... But then this also could be Conor McGregor going, looking at the actual division and going like, the fuck is dude beating Cowboy going to do for me? I want to be the fucking champ, dude. And he wants to fight Khabib. And unfortunately, he's going to get his ass beat, dude. But that's literally what he wants to do. And I feel like that's what the UFC is going to do now. Because Tony turned down that fight. Who the fuck wants to see? If Max loses, all right, it all really depends on Max. If Max wins that lightweight interim title, it's going to be Max Khabib. But if Dustin Poirier wins that fight, it's going to be Conor Khabib too. Like, that's really what it's going to be.
I'm going to sum up my thoughts just by saying I really hope that doesn't happen.
Me too.
I don't want to see Conor Khabib too. I want to see Conor versus Cowboy.
Actually,
or Conor versus Dustin Poirier.
Really
or
care.
Conor versus Tony Ferguson. But I don't want to see Conor McGregor.
I'd much rather see Conor and Tony Ferguson.
By fucking Khabib Nurmagomedov again. That's cool. I'll pass. That's what's going to happen.
I'll pass.
I don't fucking care if Conor changes camps. And I am like, as you well know, and anybody that pays attention
to the
show.
Dylan Danis wouldn't be allowed to go.
I am like the big one. I am a huge Conor McGregor fan. You're wearing a Conor McGregor hat. We love Conor McGregor around here. And we are both like, yeah, you're going to get your ass kicked by Nurmagomedov.
Yeah,
so let's not do it. Please. Like, you're not beating Khabib. Khabib's the best lightweight. Let's just get some fucking money.
What does
going.
This mean? Money.
Do you think that people would pay to see that again versus Cowboy? Like a real fight that they think Conor might win? Come on. Cowboy's fucking just as popular. More popular. I say that fight's more fucking popular. The only people that want to tune in and see Conor get his ass beat again are the Conor haters. You think the casual is going to be like, oh yeah, that was so competitive last time. Oh, now wow. Conor can wrestle.
What did I tell you?
Fuck that.
What did I tell
it's a
you?
Terrible fight.
It's gonna be DC versus John Jones 3, and Conor Khabib 2.
Oh, God, that's both just shit.
International fight week.
These are just shit fights.
The fucking shit will be rough.
I hope that you're not cursing us with these awful things,
dude. What
because
if,
these are terrible fights, in
thing.
My opinion.
Yeah,
those whatever. Of you listening might think that sounds great. If so,
nah, I'm just kidding. Khabib good can't for even you. Fight until like
no,
September.
Khabib ain't fight until November.
He said September.
Well, he's allowed to fight.
No,
in September.
Fucking Arawani reported this weekend that Khabib wants to fight in September.
Oh, so now he's not going to wait out his fight suspension.
He said he's found a new hunger to fight. So, who's it going to be? Hopefully Max Holloway. I'd like to see that fight.
Yeah, that'd be much better. Let's do
That's the fight for me.
Let's do Max Holloway. Let's fuck the Conor Cowboy bullshit. I hope that fight's still on.
Let's do Conor and...
Well, okay, here's my counter to what you're saying here and to Dana's bullshit. If that is the plan, if he really is, if Conor's talking about fall and Habib's talking about fall, then why the fuck are they having this interim fight then? Because how do you not say that fucking the winner, be it Dustin Poirier or Max Holloway, fights Khabib next in the fall, not Conor? So, what?
You're acting like Dana White's a logical human being. How many times have you seen...
You know why it's never... That's why I don't even believe that the Conor Cowboy fight's not off.
Exactly.
That fight's happening.
When was the last time...
That's what we're getting.
When was the last time you saw someone get an interim title and just straight up not get the title shot? It happens all the time. Welcome to...
Not when it's Max Holloway, everybody's favorite fighter, the current champ in another division.
Yeah, dude, watch him get fucking upside-down triangle and then fucking other arm broken by
fucking... Is the UFC just going to keep fucking themselves?
I don't know, dude. I think Dustin Poirier is a fucking tough matchup for him again.
Well, no, let's just wrap up the Conor Cowboy talk. Your final analysis, happening, not happening?
No, it's done.
I'm the opposite.
We didn't even bring it up, but the Ally Quinta is supposed to be fighting Cowboy on International Fight Week now.
Says the aforementioned Dana White.
So and also Ariel Helwani.
We were just talking about. And Ariel heard it from Dana White.
Yeah, but Ariel said he had messaged Al, and Al said he didn't know what he was talking about, which means it's happening.
I say Conor Cowboy is what's going on. So let's move on. Next week, we've got a so-so card coming up, but the headliner's cool. The
headliner's a fucking...
Headliner's a beast.
It's going down for real.
It's Derek Lewis, the return of the Black Beast, versus Junior Dos Santos.
JDS, bro. Man, that's a tough fight, man. JDS's chin's a little weathered, so I think Lewis gets it done.
You think Lewis gets it done?
Lewis gets it done. He jumps and fucking brings out the Popeyes and he keeps it rolling.
I haven't heard anything about his back. I hope it's good.
Because it's back.
I hope his back is back to being strong. That would be fucking dope.
His back wasn't bad during the title fight.
No.
So he should be good.
That'd be a banger.
I wonder how many minutes he's training for this one.
Well, let's see. He said he was doing an hour a day before his title fight. So I'm guessing...
Let's see.
40 minutes, maybe. Still an increase over his 30 minutes of training time prior to the title fight. But, you know.
We'll see. I'm running and shit now, so I don't know. That's what he said.
I fucking love Derek Lewis. I've missed him. I haven't been checking out his social media lately.
He's a funny motherfucker. Funny shit.
30 minutes of training time, my ass.
That was the funniest part. Then he's like, I learned this new thing during this camp. It's called stretching.
I learned stretching. Yes. That was the other thing he did for the title fight. He learned about stretching.
That's so funny.
Fucking Derek Lewis.
Derek good Lewis shit. Is a crack up. He's one of the good guys for sure. One thing we didn't talk about, and it's kind of unfortunate, but I think we should bring it up. Mirko Krokop, unfortunately, was forced to retire.
Had a stroke.
Had a stroke after. Turns out, I think it was 2 days after that fight
with Roy Nelson.
And then he didn't report anything about it. And he said he's doing good now and he's very lucky, but he said he just can't get hit in the head anymore. It's just not something that can be happening.
Well, thank God he's okay.
What a fucking career, though, man.
Unbelievable.
Really one of the guys who's...
He goes out on, a 5 or 6 fight win streak?
He's really one of those guys who hasn't he fought, dude. Like,
he's legendary.
Fucking legend.
Fucking legend. Well, I'm glad he's all right from the stroke.
And
sad
he got knocked
go,
out by Brendan Schaub.
He got knocked out by Brendan Schaub.
He had some weird UFC losses. But he's got some great outside the UFC
wins. He rebounded
wins.
Outside the UFC.
Yeah.
Good way to end the career.
He's a tough mofo.
For sure. He was looking massive against Roy Nelson, too.
Yeah. Well, fuck, we were just talking about before, possible matchup with Fedor. That's mm-hmm. obviously off the table now.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, at least he gets the ride off fairly intact, not too damaged from the stroke, thank God.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, shout out to Miracle Crocomp.
Actually, something we didn't talk about also.
What's that?
In some other news, got Vitor Belfort signing with ONE Championship.
Vitor signed with ONE. Made an odd call introduced... out, didn't he? Roy Jones Jr. in a special rules bout. I forgot. Who he wants to fight.
That's strange.
It's a little weird. Yeah. Didn't elaborate too much on the special rules, but.
Yeah. I'd imagine.
But the signing itself, I don't like that fight, but I like Vitor at ONE.
Yeah. Maybe do Brandon Vera.
You think we're going to get TRT Vitor back?
Bro. You seen Brandon Vera?
Yup.
Exactly.
Remember, Vitor posted that pic, what, a couple months ago? With it looked like a TRT Vitor was coming back. It was just like his neck, but his neck was like...
Yeah, but then like he was like, I'm Vitor coming neck. Back to fighting, and then he thinned out a more. Yeah. He probably got off.
We'll see.
I don't know. I think that was the wrong move for him. I think Bellator would have been a better move for him.
Maybe he didn't want none of that smoke over there.
There's some big fights for him over there for
there
sure.
There is, man. There's some he would go
even
over there.
Scott Coker was talking about it a week ago that he was looking at the first fight was going to be Chael versus Vitor. Yeah. That would have been a great fight. And that would have been a winnable fight for Vitor as well.
Yeah.
You know, so. For sure. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to change up because he's so much more of a businessman now. Maybe he's trying to tap into that market. You know what I'm saying? Because now, when you look at it, that Asian market is being really tapped in by every major organization now. You look at the UFC's now opening a performance center over there. You got ONE Championship signing deals with American TV networks, and they're being broadcast here, and they're signing Mighty Mouse and Eddie Alvarez, and they brought Rich Franklin in, and they brought Misha Tate, and they've got all these people that are basically out there.
They got that TV deal with TNT.
Yeah.
They're making moves.
They're making fucking signings. Moves.
I like it.
So maybe Vitor just saw it as a better business decision.
Could be.
Maybe they're can't blame him. Checks. Well, fucking Eddie Alvarez said he's getting paid.
Yeah, he claimed to be getting fat paid quite ass. A bit. Now, ONE's financial show, supposedly that they're not making money yet. However, they have like $200 million, $175 million in investor funds. Like that they can spend. So they're sitting, they're cash rich because they have a lot of investors.
Well, here's the thing, too, is they're, what people don't realize is they smash all the numbers of the UFC and everyone else because the market they is so large that if they get, I don't know, 20% of the country watching it,
they had a 50 million viewership event there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's verified or
no,
what,
it is for sure.
I mean, that's
they've
what,
had
that's
a couple. That's what they were talking about.
Too bad. It's not pay per view now, mind you, but
yeah,
that doesn't
but
matter.
Still,
they're putting shit on television
matter.
And getting that kind of viewership.
Nothing,
I mean,
no UFC event is getting numbers like that. Just fight night.
UFC is
no
a big
way.
Deal if they get 2 million. They're like shitting themselves.
Exactly.
Fuck. The highest rated ONE was the very first one on Fox, which was 5.7 million for Kane versus Junior ONE, and that was 60 seconds.
Exactly.
Which is pretty much guaranteed the next one was not going to be that big. Which we saw, but you know, those are some fucking crazy numbers. So good on Vitor then. Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I think that brings us to a close on Vitor Belfort. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we're talking about a good fight next, right?
Yeah.
It brings us to our fighters who smoke.
All right.
This week, as we mentioned earlier, the champ, the GOAT.
The motherfucking GOAT,
John Jones. Now, John is not known as, say, an advocate for cannabis like last week's.
He's a fucking user.
Like last week's fighter, John Fitch, but John Jones is definitely a user of the sweet, sweet weed. I mean, it as first kind of came to light, I guess, when he had his infamous traffic accident where he ran the red light and crashed the car and broke the girl's arm, and then he left the car, and then he turned around and came back to the car, and what was he getting from his car? Oh, his
weed
pipe. Yes, absolutely. And on top of that...
He also infamously told DC... He's like, I kicked your ass when I was getting high every day. Shit like that. Yep. Getting fucked up every day and I still kicked your ass.
He admits to still smoking today as of just the other day. He was talking about it. I'm still going to fucking smoke weed and party. And then you heard an interesting story.
Yeah, too. I heard an interesting story on a recent Joe Rogan MMA podcast. We had Ari Shafir on. They were talking about back in the day, they went to, like, I think it was John Jones' fight when he fought Stephen Bonner or someone like that. Or maybe his first fight.
I think it was his first fight. Might have been his first one, I think.
But him and Ari Shafir smoked pot together, and then Joe sat him down and was talking about how he needs to get a legit camp behind him, and he needs to, that he could be great if he just had the right people around him. And then eventually, John ends up going to Jackson Wink, and he said that Joe was kind of a motivator for that. So it's like, hey, man. Fucking weeds that saved his career.
That's pretty dope right there. You got young John Jones sitting down with Ari Shafir and Joe Rogan after the show and smoking some weed. Getting words of wisdom. Leading the Jackson Wink. That's dope, dude. I love that. So John Jones, this week's fighter who smokes.
The GOAT.
The fucking GOAT. I bet he's smoking some weed right here now in Vegas. Well, maybe not. He is a little bit different this time with his kids.
Yeah. Well, no, he's still at an after party at the club.
But he's got the fiance of however many years it's been now. So he's
that was rough, dude.
Oh, come on. It's hilarious at this point. Like, he was calling her his fiance, like, in his first fight.
Bro, oh, like, God, all them years ago when he was smoking weed
with Joe, he was like, Joe, you should come meet my fiance.
Stupid.
Like 10 years later, he's like, my fiance. Oh, I'm just having fun, John Jones. Oh, that's funny.
They have like 3 kids, too. It's like, all right, dude, you guys just get married or what?
Yeah, why don't you just do it at this point, bro?
Like, can't get his dick up, dude. He's got them dick pills.
He's got them dick pill problems. Oh, John Jones.
But he's still the GOAT.
He's still the GOAT, man. No
doubt. You
know what was crazy? Because we saw John Jones in person this weekend, too.
Yeah, he's
we didn't get a chance to meet with him or talk with him.
Smallest calves I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, he was like right in front of us. I mean, like 5-10 feet away. Like, he's got the smallest. Like, TV doesn't even do his legs justice. Like, he doesn't really have a calf. He's got a bone.
No wonder these bones, Jones, dude. No wonder those fucking, when you get hit by him, it's like, fuck, dude, there's no padding.
Yeah, it's just, he's like swinging a bat at your fucking every time he swings that leg, man. That was crazy.
They don't call him Bones Jones for nothing, bro. He's all bones.
It seems, I guess when he was doing all that powerlifting, he wasn't doing any calf extensions. Because he shrunk back up, but his calves are...
Fuck it, dude. He said he's getting those picograms, dude.
That's where he hides them, not letting the bone in calves. His calves. Oh, that was crazy.
That's why they're so small.
That was crazy. Oh, yeah. We got this fucking bong going here with a little bit more of this super glue. I like this little piece, man.
Fuck. Yeah.
I like them chocolates we were eating from OMG THC, them Sin City
Sweets.
Yeah,
I can definitely feel that CBD.
I can feel that kicking. Yeah. Oh, folks, if you're listening, I hope you're smoking on some good weed right now, too. Oh, man, that probably brings our show to a close for today, huh?
Yep.
Absolutely, man. We're going to keep smoking this bowl here, folks. Hope you keep smoking your weed, too. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
Now, if this is your first time listening to us, we'd like you to subscribe. However you're listening, whether it's on iTunes, Google Play, if you're watching video on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button.
Leave a cool comment.
You can also hear us on WBUZ 95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app. We air on there on Thursday nights. Let's see, 6 p.m. out here on the West Coast, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Times. And
head over to SWATMMA.com, hit the gear button, and buy a shirt. Support your favorite podcast, guys. Come on.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, folks. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Later. Peace.